Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. Hope you had just a wonderful opportunity to celebrate Christmas and the incarnation of our Lord with your family and friends. And here we are in the octave of Christmas, which is one of those those seasons, those days of particular celebration and allowing the magnitude of what we know and understand, the incarnation and how the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ has radically changed our life, changed the whole world, changed the whole cosmos. And we want to celebrate it. And there's lots to learn as we walk together through this octave of Christmas. And so in considering that, I invited one of my friends from our parish, Anthony Fiola, who is the director of adult discipleship at our parish at Christ the King here in Ann Arbor. And he's married to a lovely woman named Anna. They have five children and just a missionary family, a Catholic family that's alive to the Lord and doing a lot of wonderful work. And I asked him to come and that he and I could just kind of share this week together with you, the listeners, to celebrate dimensions of this octave of Christmas. So welcome, Anthony.
Thanks. It's good to be here. Merry Christmas.
Yeah. And it was a year and a half or something ago where you were on the program where you kind of gave your full story testimony during the week. And I know many of our listeners were really inspired by it. I thought maybe today we could start with a little bit of the theme of Christmas, but also just hearing your story again, kind of summarizing it to begin this week, I think would be a helpful way of introducing you to our listeners again.
Yeah, I'd be happy to share it again. So I was born into a beautiful Catholic family, baptized as a baby, received First Communion when I was in second grade, and then my parents split up when I was pretty young. I was probably about third grade or so, and at that point we left the church, left the Lord completely, although we were only serving Him nominally before that. So it went several years for me as a young boy in those really formative years of life where I was just away from the Lord in a single-parent home. And as you can imagine, sin and the devil kind of filled in that void and just began to live a life that was of the world and sin and all of that. And then it was when I was in my first couple years of high school where the Lord sent in these beautiful non-Catholic believers from a non-denominational church, just sent them into our lives at that time, and they just boldly proclaimed the gospel to us and made the gospel very clear and invited us into repentance of our sin and to giving our lives to Jesus, asking Him to be the Lord of our lives. And that's when I can say now, looking back, that those baptismal graces sprang to life in me. There wasn't anything spectacular that happened that day that I said, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. But everything was different. Everything looked different. I knew I had met Jesus. There was just a deep knowing in me. And at that point, all I did was want to be His disciple, give my life to Him, whatever that meant, and began to do what I thought disciples should do at that time of my life. And that was begin reading Scripture every day with the intent to obey and to live what I was reading, begin to develop a prayer life, begin to open myself up to doing whatever the will of the Lord was for my life. And shortly after that, as I was reading the Scriptures, I started to notice what effect the Holy Spirit had on people when He touched them, just through the Scriptures, as I was reading the book of Acts and the Gospels. And I remember just telling the Lord, Lord, I want that. And my prayers became more and more desperate because I didn't see what I was reading in my life. It wasn't happening in my life. At least I didn't think it was. And I said, Lord, and I remember just pointing at my Bible as I was praying. I was saying, Lord, if this is real, this is what I want. I want you to do that in my life. And I added, if it's just about me sitting in a pew every single week at church, no thanks. I don't want that. I want the real thing. Mm-hmm. And I can honestly say that prayer has followed me ever since then. Lord, I still want the real thing. I don't care how hard it is. I don't care what that means. Help me. Mm-hmm. Help me to understand what you're asking me to do. And then shortly after that, as I was seeking the Lord for His will in my life, through different circumstances, opened this door for me to go to a Bible school in Sweden. And the reason why I went to that school, obviously I felt the Lord was leading me to do it. But just before that, when I had been praying the way I just told you that I was praying, I had cried out to God for an infilling of the Holy Spirit, just in my personal time of prayer. And I did receive a really powerful baptism of the Spirit when I was 16. And as a fruit that came out of that was a very strong missionary vocation. And what I mean by that is there was a heart to find the unreached people of the world and proclaim the gospel to them. And I think a good way to describe the missionary vocation is out of Mark chapter 3, verse 13, where he's speaking to his disciples, and it says that he called them to himself to be with him, that he might send them. And really, from that moment when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, those two callings really began to happen, this contemplative type of calling of coming to Jesus, being with Jesus, spending a lot of time with him in prayer, spending a lot of time listening to him in order to allow him from that place send me. And during those years, as I said yes to him and he opened the door to this school in Sweden, they had a very strong missionary outreach to very unreached areas of the world in Central Asia and many other different places. So I took the step of faith and I went to Sweden and began to immerse myself in scripture, began to immerse myself in prayer even more. And the door to international mission opened up at that point in my life. So I left America when I was 18 with about $1,000 and just a lot of faith in the Lord. Mm-hmm. And he just opened up doors that I never thought would open to me. So this missionary vocation started to manifest in my life almost immediately when I said yes to it. And then over the years, there's been lulls here and there, mm-hmm. you know, as the calling has developed. But there was just an intense moment in those early years where I stepped into that missionary vocation and started to go to places. It was in places in Northeast India where they had never heard the gospel and was proclaiming the gospel to them. But that calling to go to the nations, to be an international missionary, came into my life when I was a teenager through the power of the Holy Spirit.
So you went to India. What other places did you go to, just out of curiosity?
So I lived in Sweden, and from there I went to India a couple times. It was in Kazakhstan. It was in China. Some places throughout Europe. Yeah, several different places.
Earlier you were talking about you were having that prayer time, had already really given your life to the Lord, was reading mm-hmm. scripture and the Acts and the rest. You said, Lord, I want the real thing. Help me understand and come into the real thing.
Yeah.
So how would you summarize the real thing for people who are listening, you know, who are either, you know, working, raising families, or single, whatever state they're in,
yeah,
and they're desiring to follow the Lord. And I'm sure some of who are listening have found the real thing in the way you're describing it, so that you were thinking of anyway. So put a little more teeth into that or something.
Yeah, so, for me at that time, the real thing was what I'm reading here in Scripture should be real in my life too. I mean, I knew enough to know that not everything was going to happen immediately.
Yeah.
But there was something there. And at that time, I couldn't describe what it was other than I saw it and I saw that my life was not exactly like that. And I thought, if this is the Word of God, then my life should be conforming to what I'm reading here.
Are you thinking of just the teaching, receiving the teaching
of
Jesus? The book of Acts, okay.
Yeah, the Acts of the Apostles, when you're seeing the miracles, the evangelization that's happening, the persecution. I mean, all of the stuff that is there in the Acts of the Apostles. As I read that, I was like, Lord, I want this.
Yeah.
Now what I would say to that is really what I'm saying when I say, Lord, I want the real thing, is I want to be conformed to Jesus. I want to be like him, mm-hmm. inside and out. And for that to happen, I know that means I need to change.
Yeah.
I need to decrease so he can increase. And so that to me, when I say, Lord, I want the real thing, that means I want whatever he wants for my life right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I know when I say yes to that, that means I'm going to conform to him a little bit more and become more and more like him and in union with him.
Yeah. And when did you meet Anna? And when did your story come together?
I met her for the first time in Sweden. She went to the same Bible school, but we hung out with different friends at that time, and we didn't really have any interest in one another romantically at the time. So I ended up staying longer in Sweden. She went home to help her dad, who was a Protestant pastor. And then we crossed paths probably another year after that. And that is when I began to fall in love with her and felt the Lord call us to marriage. And we got married in the year 2000. And so we just last June celebrated our 25th on mission.
Yeah.
In Papua New Guinea.
Yes. Oh, that's right.
That was our anniversary gift. So we actually started after we got engaged. We got engaged in the year in 1999. We got engaged, and then we went on the mission field during our engagement in the year 2000, and came back from the mission field and got married.
And she was raised Protestant as well.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
What kind of Protestant? Can I ask you?
Yeah, just a non-denominational.
Okay.
Protestant Christianity, and her dad has pastored small churches and served in other bigger ministries over the years too. But she's been in the ministry life since she was just a little girl.
She's a phenomenal musician and worship leader.
Very gifted.
Yeah,
worship really leader.
And now, at one point, the two of you came into the Catholic Church, and it must have been a very big deal for her and her family. But we only have a couple of minutes. But just when did that happen, and what do you remember most about it?
Yeah, that happened for me now about 12 years ago. So it's a long story how it all culminated. But it actually began at the Bible school in Sweden through an ecumenical movement that had begun that led to more me growing in my hunger for the Lord, for the real thing, and not getting into all the details. People can read about them online. But I ultimately, it all led to a revelation of Jesus in the Eucharist for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew what that meant when he revealed himself. That meant you leave everything to follow him, or you reject it.
Mm.
And I began to leave everything to follow him. And it was very difficult at the time because my wife was not Catholic. She was on staff at a Protestant church. There was just a lot of things going on in that moment. It was very difficult for her. But the Lord just really became our answer during that time. And little by little, opened up her eyes, opened up my kids' eyes. It was just like a wind of the Spirit blew through my home, and they all came into the Catholic Church about a little over a year after I did. But yeah, it was a test in discipleship and following the Lord, because we had to die to many things as we followed him.
Including mission work at the time, because you were so engaged around that, but becoming Catholic, you had to be able to let that go, knowing the Lord might raise it up in a different way, but he might not.
Yeah, you had to lay it on the altar.
Yeah.
Because it was all about Jesus, and that's ultimately the real thing. We want him. We want union with him.
Yeah.
And if that even meant mission looking different, so be it.
Yeah.
So be it.
Well, wonderful. Friends, Anthony's going to be with us through the rest of this week, and we want to dive into the season, some of the themes of the season of beginning tomorrow. We're going to talk a little bit about the martyrdom of St. Stephen, which we celebrated on the 26th. But there's so much there we want to unpack, because the church in its wisdom is presenting these amazing characters before us as people were called to imitate fully, and we get a glimpse of where the Lord is leading us. I hope you can join us tomorrow. We're going to have a great time. God bless you. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once, and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.